help, hope, and strength in your time of need. We're in John, the Gospel of John. I want to talk to you about the bread of life. Jesus said he is the bread of life. I want to talk about the distinct advantages. Next week, we're going to be sharing communion together, and we'll continue this story when he talks about the significance of the bread and the body of Christ, the shed blood in the communion elements. But I want to set this up this week as we head into the Easter season. Oh, there he is. Where'd he go? No, just messing with you. Also, tonight, we're going to start a series. Chris and I are going to alternate. We're doing a video series on the path to the cross for the next four Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. We'll show a video and then a discussion following that. It's the path to the cross. And then the 4 weeks after Easter, we're going to talk about the resurrection and new life. So it's an eight-week series, four of them leading to the cross, and then four after talking about the resurrection. All right? Just wanted you to know that's happening Sunday nights. No, that's a non-paid advertisement. And if this is being recorded, then that's going to happen in 2013, in case this is 100 years from now and you're listening. You get that later, right? All right. 100 years from now, how many of you are going to be here? Just me and Daryl? All right. John chapter 6, verse 30. That is Daryl, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, he's like, how does he know? Okay. I don't know everything. I just know Daryl. Did you find John chapter 6, verse 30? What page is that on in the Pew Bible? 564. All right. Verse 30, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to you, and the one who comes to me will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing. He should raise it up in the last days. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Beginning to compare who Jesus is with Moses in these days was very difficult task. They believed Moses to be the greatest leader in Israel's history. He gave him the first five books of the Bible. He led the people out of bondage into freedom across the Red Sea. And manna was a vital part of those 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years is a long time, but it's not everlasting. It is not forever. And the manna was perishable. It lasted for 24 hours or less, unless it was into the Sabbath. It lasted 48 hours over the course of the Sabbath. The Redeemer Moses provided that manna from their point of view, and they were asking Jesus, what do you have to offer to compare to that? What do you have? And Jesus simply says they were mistaken. Because that manna that was provided in the time of Moses was a shadow of the manna to come. And for us today, you need to be reminded that God's best work is yet to come. We look back, we see what he has done, but if you focus on the miracles of yesterday, you're missing his presence right here with us today. Where is he? Right here for some people, and for others, he's right here on the inside, strengthening us, encouraging us, and blessing us. Jesus came from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus feeds our soul like bread feeds your body. Don't you like a good roll? Don't you like a nice, warm, buttered roll? Am I making you hungry yet? What do you like on a little bit of jelly? You know what I like on my rolls? Cinnamon and sugar and some of that corn syrup. Oh, that's more like a cinnamon roll. I'm sorry. It's still considered to be a roll, though, isn't it? A little icing on top. Yeah, swirl cinnamon roll. Now we're talking. I realize working in the bakery has been an advantage. I can get hungry anytime I want to. Every once in a while, I can almost just... Oh, I can smell the bread baking right now. Can't you? Oh, man. You know, I used to wrestle in high school, and everybody wanted to wrestle me because I smelt like the Pillsbury Doughboy. These guys were hungry, and they used to draw straws to see who was my wrestling partner when I got out of the bakery from working all night. They couldn't eat those rolls, but they could hurt me because they couldn't eat them. Oh, that's a different story that probably didn't interest you at all. The food that the Lord gives us is indispensable. It is forever. It will never diminish. It satisfies your soul. It will strengthen your body even in the midst of a famine. Christ will not just sustain your spiritual life, he will strengthen it. That's his promise. He will renew our strength. The first temptation the devil brought said, Jesus, just turn those stones to bread. And he simply said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Haven't you found that to be true? Aren't there things more important than eating sometimes? Haven't you ever got a phone call that took your appetite away? Haven't you ever seen something that just made you to the point you couldn't eat? It was just overwhelming. Sometimes relationships get us that way. There are other things that strike us that way. But I'm here to tell you that we don't live, and remind you, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The folks that were standing there, they simply said, Jesus, Lord, give us this bread always. They wanted to hold the bread with their hands, to put it to their mouths. But Jesus is trying to give us the bread of life that will fill your hearts and bless your hands so that you can bless other people, because you have something that has been sent from heaven, a treasure of heaven. And Jesus simply says, you know what that is, don't you? It's the bread of life. The bread of life. Once you've tasted of the bread of life, once Christ dwells within you, you begin to understand that our faith is active and our faith is outward. I hope you can tell I love the Lord. Some people call you Pastor Loopy. Did you know that? Yeah, I mean, there's some strange names that you can give a guy that it doesn't mind living out his faith actively. Does that make sense? Not embarrassed to walk into an ICU unit and pray for the person laying there that's supposed to pass away. Do you understand? It makes a little difference. because we're willing to stand for Christ and do the things that he asks us to do. The first phrase talks about that hunger, the things that you long for. I know there's some young people that just can't wait to get out of high school. Open the door, here we go. Look out, world, here we come. But you really need God to help you, or that world's going to be a miserable place, won't it? Aren't you glad you can send your prayers before where you're going to wind up? Aren't you glad I can be praying for you right now? Lord, bless them in June. Bless them in July and August. Help them to hear your plans. Help them to hear your voice, to protect them and to be that hedge that they're going to have need of. The first phrase says that our faith is active and outward, where it talks about hunger. The second phrase, it's here talking about thirsting, is an inward and a blessing. It tells us that our faith is inward and a rest or a peace the world can't touch. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad the news doesn't have to mess with you? You can know what they're saying, but it does not have to erode the foundation under your feet. And I find I'm pretty secure while I'm on my knees. You know what we're talking about, don't you? To be in prayer. What a sure foundation when we kneel before an almighty God and we begin to understand that our faith is active and outward. It's also resting and a blessing for our thoughts and a place of rest for our heart. And we understand that the Lord is the sum and the source of every good thing. He's the sum. He's the complete total of every good thing. And he provides for his temple. When he taught his disciples, he taught them to pray a very simple phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." These folks were saying, "Lord, give us this bread always. We'll pray once, provide always." He said, "That's not how it's going to work. This is a daily supply. It's in relationship. You connect with me." He taught us to pray that this will happen. This is exactly what we need to do if we're going to follow him. It's what every disciple had to do and is doing. "Lord, help me right now to have the spiritual strength that I need." He's not just talking about the food that's produced on the planet. God prepared the earth to produce food. It's almost planting time, isn't it? All we need to do is get rid of 6 foot of snow. The ground's being prepared. And I know what's going to happen. Whatever seed you put in there is what's going to grow. And if you don't plant no seed, ain't nothing going to grow. Can I say ain't nothing? Is there an English teacher here? I just said it. I'm sorry. I hope that doesn't offend you. We'll have you call Chris. You want his phone number? No. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to grow. If you plant carrot seeds, carrots are going to grow. Plant tomato seeds, tomato plants are going to grow. And you can even plant the tomato plant. Or you can plant the tomato seeds right now, put them on your windowsill, and they'll be ready for when you can put them in the ground. A little bitty secret. So of course, if you like tomatoes, well, let's keep going. There must be a salad waiting for me in heaven. It's the only thing I can figure out. Probably a big salad too, but we'll get back to that a little bit later. There is bread that is given to us, spiritual food, and God prepares the earth to produce food. Spiritual food only comes from God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual food is dispensed to us from above. Jesus said, "I've come down. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And I've come to realize that coming to Jesus means giving to him everything we possess so we can have access to the things he possesses. Does that make sense? How many of you have seen a little kid walking around with something dangerous you didn't want him to have? Don't you replace it with something good or better? Don't you? That's what the Lord does to us. He sees those things that are in our hands that are dangerous. And he says, why don't you give me that stuff? Let me give you some blessings. And the things that he gives us are better than chocolate. I got a hug from a grandkid. I think I still got yogurt in my ear. Anybody know why? He's eating yogurt. And my daughter said, Dad, I'm about to give your granddaughter some bell peppers. Don't you say anything. And she's going to eat that pickle on her plates. You don't make no faces. Should be the other way around. Shouldn't she be instructing her kids and not her dad? I begin to understand that the things of this world will never satisfy one person. The things of this world always pose a growth problem, don't they? It always gets in our way of growing and trying to consume us and stealing our resources if we are going to seek the spiritual instead of the physical. You're going to have to seek it first, because the physical demands so much maintenance, it'll occupy all your time. Anybody here a homeowner? As soon as you get your house back to perfect, then you'll do something. I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to do anything else but that. As soon as you get your car in running order or perfect order, then this will happen. As soon as I get control of my kids, my grandkids, right? And the kids are saying, as soon as I get control of my parents. These are part of the challenges of the world. If you're going to seek the spiritual realm, if you're going to seek the kingdom of God, then you got to seek it first. Otherwise, you'll be preoccupied for the rest of your life. The servant, when he begins to obey God, demonstrates a dependence upon the word of God. They hear the word of God, and I thank you for being here to hear the word of God today, and that's why I preach the word of God to the best of my ability. And thank you for putting up with my ability. And thank God he sends the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the midst of it. Aren't there communication breakdowns? Haven't you found that to be true? Michael talked about one a little while ago. He's trying to make an Easter announcement, and he's talking about Christmas. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if he's back or ahead of us or behind us. But we all do that, don't we? I still remember my mother looking at me and yelling at me because I upset her, saying, I only have four hands. What do you expect? That's another argument she lost, right? I won before we ever got started, didn't I? But frustrating people is not winning, is it? Following Christ is our source of a great and glorious journey. Obedience to the word of God is unmistakable. You'll know when you're doing it. Doing what God asks you to do is not supposed to be a mistake. It's supposed to be an act of will. Does that make sense? If you somehow stumble into your kid's room and it's clean, I tell you, it didn't happen by accident. Isn't that true? It was intentional if it got done at all. And it was probably in obedience that it was even attempted. Isn't that true? You probably instructed them towards that direction. The obedience to the word of God is revealed in our speech and our actions. I speak what he gives me to speak. I do what he gives me to do. And he knows when I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And abilities are all different, aren't they? But the difference of ability is not our problem. We simply pray and ask that your kingdom comes, and it means his will is done on earth. And we show our trust in God by faithfulness. We know who we're waiting for, don't we? We're not just waiting on the bus. We're not Forrest Gump sitting on a bench waiting on a bus. We're following the Lord God Almighty. How do you respond even when you're despised, rejected, betrayed, and left into the hands of the wicked? Can you still do good? Can you bless even those who are despising you? Jesus, right there in the middle of the cross, said this was not voluntary suffering. He simply said, I commit myself. Father, into your hands I commit myself. That's the highest thing we can do, isn't it? Lord, you know my circumstance. How about you don't just take me, how about you take the circumstance with it? You know, sometimes I wish Jim would bring his excavator here. I could use that as a pretty good example. If you wanted to move a rock, the best thing you do is get a bucket that'll hold the whole rock and all the dirt that's holding the rock. Right? Just get a giant excavator. Pretty good challenge for us in the middle of this world. But we need to do what the Lord asks us to do and demonstrates. It's amazing to think at the end of the harsh treatment of mankind, his final words, his last breath is, I still trust my dad. We need to say that once in a while, don't we? From our predicaments, from our circumstance. And this is the will of God that you believe. That you believe not just in life, but everlasting life. Can you see why Jesus took nights of prayer? Can you see why Jesus' ministry included teaching his disciples that we need to pray? And can you see why he himself would pray something like this? Nevertheless, your will be done. That's a tough prayer to pray any level of maturity, isn't it? Your will be done. And when you pray that prayer, you need to know the Lord will hear that prayer and bless you and help you. He really will help you. And he does hear our prayer. He'll help you live out that prayer. Isn't that amazing? He not only hears it, but he helps us live out that prayer. He unpacks that prayer. And one of these days, we're going to get a little further in John, and we're going to come to this verse and this realization, because, and this is Jesus' words, because I live, you will live also. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? So why do we live? Because he lives. He lives. It's not because of good doctor's reports. I think God makes doctors give us good reports, even when they don't want to. I wish you were sitting in my doctor's office when the doctor told me my blood test was just too good for a person in my condition. I'm thinking, no, it's the blood report that tells you my condition. And they're going, no, that's not how it works. We're supposed to be able to look at you, and we have all those, we have issues with you. Okay. But your blood test is too good for a person of your weight and your age and your eating habits. Well, thank God. Now, I'm not putting them to the test. I'm really not. That's not how it works. Does that make sense? But he sustains my life, and that's the good news. And sometimes those tests reveal his power in my weakness. Does that make sense? Otherwise, everybody in ICU goes out the way the nurse and doctor told me they're going to go out, right? Instead of being in step down, and then they, you know, again, I keep getting texts. Pastor, thanks for showing up. Thank you for praying. They had to move them to a different room, not the one they thought. They're not in the basement. They're on their way up. Isn't that cool? Aren't you glad for God's ability to help us in our present circumstance? He is the bread of life. There's your hope. He's the bread of life. The guy who hung the sun's the bread of life. And that's only one star. Some of the other ones are bigger than our sun. That's what I've been told. I've never been there. And I could probably only go at night because they're too hot to get close, right? Oh, you'll get that later, won't you? All right. Are your minds clear? Are you ready to serve the infinite Almighty as He dispenses daily bread, fresh, warm, sufficient bread? And you don't have to do it because you speak it into existence. He has already spoken, hasn't He? Listen to His word. He will transform your life, your body, and renew your spirit. Father, thank You for this promise, for these words that You declare to this world. You are the bread of life. I thank You for allowing me to participate in this great truth. And I ask again, as You taught us how to pray, that Your will would be done on earth just like it is in heaven. So in this room at this time, I pray that these who are here would respond exactly as they would respond and perhaps will respond as we enter into the presence of the Lord God Most High. Would You bless these folks with Your presence? Let them know the joy of sins forgiven and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of a mighty God to transform our will into a nevertheless, Your will be done. Before I say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anyone? Just raise your hand right where you, God bless you. See those hands. Anyone else want to come and join us here at this altar this morning? I'd pray for you before we go. As I say this final benediction, if you would like for me to pray with you, make your way to the altar and we'll pray together before we dismiss or before you leave. Father, thank You for meeting with us today in this time, in this service, with these words. Thank You for Your Spirit instructing us and blessing not just the word, but the vessel and the listening ears. Thank You for speaking peace to their heart, transforming lives and souls. Thank You for every hand that was raised. And now we ask that as we go from this place, that we would find ourselves in the center of Your will, in the presence of the Almighty God, Spirit of Truth, would You embrace the temple for the glory of God? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.